What a joy it is for us to be alive. We thank God, for this is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. It's good to be above ground and not beneath. Every day above ground is grace day. So we thank him for his amazing grace and his tender mercies. Amen. Amen. Psalm 25. For our preparation, Psalm 25. Good to see all of you. Good to have you as company. One writer said, if you call yourself a leader and no one is following you, you're just taking a walk. And I'm thankful that I'm not just taking a walk, but God has blessed and gifted me with leadership and fellowship. So we doing it together for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Certainly thankful for all of the preachers of the house. Thank God for their presence and their persistence. You know, this thing, you know, it's a shared responsibility. And we thank God for their due diligence and their support and their willingness to teach. Amen. 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 Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. I'm not going to make this about my flesh. It's about my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. All right, John's Gospel, chapter is 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. John 14, and then we will read from John 15 and John 16. So John 14, verse 26. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Amen. 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 That's the word of the Lord for us as people of God. The word is blessed, and may we be blessed by being hearers and doers of his holy, divine word. Operation of the Holy Spirit, that we know him as the Spirit of truth. Spirit of truth. He's not the spirit of error. He's not the spirit of falsehood, but he is the spirit of truth. If the Holy Spirit is in you, If he's indwelling you, people should see your life as truth. You can't be endued with the Holy Spirit and live as a hypocrite. Amen. The Holy Spirit will take the mask off of your face. He will expose you for who he is conforming and transforming you into being. So if the Holy Spirit is in you, then you don't live a life of lie. You don't live a lying life. And I'm not talking about lying down. I'm talking about your life being exemplary of God, and people being able to detect you and detect in your life truth. You need that because you are a word carrier. You don't need people to have a distorted version or a distorted view of the Word of God because you are not living a truthful life. Amen. You can't be one way at the house and then another way when you get to church. Amen. The Holy Spirit, if he's in control at church, he's in control at your house. Amen. He's in control while you're driving along in your car. Yeah, he wants total control. So your life has to be a life of truth. Let me hear you say truth. Amen. Not just, you know, by what you say, but your daily life. The way you live on a day-to-day basis. Amen. God can get more out of you when you live a life of truth. God can do more for you when you live a life of truth. Amen. Now, I'm harping on this because some people have gotten to the point where they fool themselves. Amen. And so in fooling yourself, you're not, you know, what you should be to other people. And, you know, I heard a preacher say some years ago, Dr. Boyd, he says, now, you know you're a fool if you're fooling yourself. Amen. Now, you need to stop playing games with yourself. Because if you're no good for self, you're no good to anyone else. So he's the Spirit of truth. Spirit of truth. Amen. Now we said that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus who guides us to understand the spiritual truths of God. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to go through all of this because I'm trying to get you somewhere. And we said that the Spirit of truth matures our capacity to receive divine truth. Amen. Now, I want to show you in a minute how we go from glory to glory and what that means. So the Holy Spirit matures us to increase our capacity to receive divine truth. Now that you've been saved for some time now, you should expect to hear truth when you come to church. And your capacity for truth should have increased, that the preacher, the pastor, the teacher don't need to be playing with you. That your expectation is to receive truth. So when you come to church, you are not expecting to hear a lie. But you are expecting to hear truth, even when truth cuts you. You know, you should have that mentality, that attitude, the disposition. Lord, work on me. Work on me. So everything that happens in the sanctuary, everything that happens during the service, everything that happens during teaching sessions, you should expect God to be dealing with you. Because his objective is to transform you. See, there's too much of you in you. And what he has to do is empty you of you. So he can put some Christ in you. And so when he's able to put more Christ in you, you become a person of truth. So there's a maturing that takes place that increases our capacity for divine truth. That this teaching that we receive from the Lord combats the enemies of truth. And we talked about enemies of truth, you know, over in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. And then we said there's a process of revelation. Process of revelation, that there's purpose. Purpose for revelation. That the Holy Spirit makes revelation a reality that changes our lives. Now you need to know that. So you don't be so resistant. You know, you can resist the Spirit. He's trying to bring revelation into your life and you don't want it. You can resist. He doesn't make you open your mouth, and he doesn't stuff word into your mouth to make you eat it. No, he doesn't rape your ears by forcing word into your ears, because when you read Romans chapter 9, it deals with Paul's desire to preach the gospel unto his people, but he says in chapter 10 that they have ignored God's righteousness. Here's the picture of ignoring God's righteousness. When the Spirit of God is trying to feed you the Word of God, you can literally take your fingers and put it in your ears to ignore. That you can come in with a preconceived notion on Sundays and on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and refuse to hear God. That you ignore, and because of your ignorance of the Word, you are ignorant. That means not to know. You can't know what you refuse to hear. So the Spirit is trying to work with you because he wants you to be transformed, and you have your fingers in your ears, refusing to hear. There's purpose. And the purpose of this process is that the Holy Spirit makes revelation a reality that changes our lives. But then there's a process, there's a removing of the veil of flesh by the sword of the Word, quickening by the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. It's a living Word. The Holy Spirit is a living being, and the Word of God is a living Word. It is not antiquated. It is not out of date. It is not out of style. It's up to date because it's a living Word. So there's a process of removing the veil of flesh that he has to remove what used to drive us, what used to be our compass and our guide. Let me see, can I help you? when we were running the streets. We didn't have sense enough to rest. If we got a call in the wee hours, flesh said, get up. And you obeyed flesh. Got dressed, knowing you had to go to work the next morning. But because flesh was so strong, and flesh had so much control over you, you went up and you got up and you went out and stayed until the breaking of day. Rushing home to get yourself, you know, washed up to go in to work. Have sleep on the job. Could have lost his job, but grace had to put toothpicks on your eyelids. Because flesh had a hold of you. See, flesh said go to dangerous places. You know those little hole in the walls. You knew the likelihood of somebody shooting down there. But you got up anyway. And then when COVID came, you talking about you were scared of a virus and you weren't scared of folks shooting in these clubs. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Y'all making me do it this evening. You know you don't have a scared spirit as brave as you were in the world. When in them little holes in the walls, only one way in and one way out. You had to run past the gunman. Walk past him on the way in, didn't know he was the gunman. But when he started shooting, then you had to run past the gunman. And now you're scared to die. Talking about COVID may take you out. You don't want to barely come to church, halfway coming to church, because now you got a scared spirit. Flesh had a hold of you. And you know, I'm thankful that I'm not living by the dictates of the flesh. Because, you know, my life was a wretch. I'm thankful that I didn't die in that. That God spared me from that, you know. And listen now, let me help you now, because now that you're on this side, you have become so judgmental of them young folks. And you ought to be praying that God spared them just like he spared you. And until they grab some sense, see, until the Spirit of God comes to reside in them, you ought to be a prayer warrior for them. Because you live that life. I live that life. Let me prove my posture now. You know, the Bible speaks of it and how we all had our conversation in time past. That's not speech now. That's way of life. That all of us were caught up in the world. But listen, he spared us. And so he's removing the veil of flesh. What used to drive me don't excite me no more. Now, if you were going to get me, you should have got me when I was in my teenage years. I didn't come too far now to be made a fool of now. I'm in the Lord. I'm in the Lord. I got some spiritual sense. Glory to God. That he's removing the veil of the flesh by the sword of the Spirit. Then the result is an unveiling of Christ within us. That we said, the more Christ is unveiled in your life, the more you can see Christ in your life and other people can see Christ in your life. Did y'all hear me?
Amen.
The more he's unveiled in your life, the more you will see Christ in your life. And the more others will see Christ in your life. Now, let me show you what will happen when you see Christ in your life and other people see Christ in your life. They don't come to you with all of that craziness.
Amen.
Because they can detect Christ.
Amen.
You know, they won't come to you with all of that satanic stuff, you know.
Yes.
Well, I think you ought to just go on out with me this time.
Yes.
They already know that you're crazy about Jesus.
Yes.
And if the church doors are open, guess who's here? Because Christ is in you. You just come on to the church. You're not trying to, you know, go out there and satisfy yourself in the world and all that kind of thing, because Christ is being unveiled in your life. You don't have to be out there, you know, drinking and smoking and dancing and all that kind of thing, because that's not your way now. That's not your excitement, and your enthusiasm, because Christ is being unveiled in your life. You know, you don't get, you know, calls now inviting you to, you know, crazy parties and stuff, because they detect the unveiling of Christ in your life. Y'all with me? So here's an unveiling. Now let me get to where I need to be. So there is, you know, the steps of process of revelation. We say information, illumination, and inspiration. But now here's where I wanted to get you. Defining the process of revelation. Defining the process of revelation. How it happens. You know, you think it's just a snap of the finger. You think it's quick. But there's a process. The Holy Spirit is taking you through a process. Now, this is what happens. There's revelation. It starts with the Logos, the written word. All right? So it starts with the Logos, the written word, the word of God. So the Holy Spirit works with the word of God to work on you. So you need to hear the word of God. You need to read the word of God. You need to meditate on the word of God, the written word of God. But the Holy Spirit has the power to transform it from the Logos to Rhema. Amen. So that the word can be applied to your life. It moves from the pages of Holy Writ to your heart and head. You cannot hide the word of God in your heart on your own. Amen. You need the aid of the Holy Spirit to hide the word of God, to store the word of God on the inside, in your heart and in your mind. Now, truthfully, the word mind and heart is the same in Greek, it's cardia. So what God is doing is applying word to your mind. He's applying word to your thinking. So when you read it, it should shape and mold your thinking. Oh my. So there's the Logos transcribed into the word of God, and then it moves from the head to the heart, becoming Rhema. Oh my, the living word of revelation. So the life of Christ is unveiled within us as we yield in obedience to this revelation. The reason the Bible calls men foolish who does not obey the word after reading and hearing the word is because the word is to be applied to your life. And when you fail to obey the word of God, when you fail to allow the Holy Spirit to give you revelation, you live a foolish life. Because to know it and not do it is a greater punishment. So you're not ignorant anymore. Once you read it and you hear it, and the Holy Spirit has taking it from logos to rhema, ignorance is gone. You're without excuse. See, you know, all of the people that's watching that didn't show up this evening, that's watching via Facebook and YouTube and sermon audio, you're responsible for what you are hearing.
Amen.
So the life of Christ is unveiled within us as we yield in obedience to this revelation. That obedience allows the Holy Spirit to give further or future revelation, which continues until resisted. Until resisted. See, when you get to the point where you say, well, I don't want to hear anything else of God, shuts off. Because you determine how much you hear. That's when you fall out of church. That's when you, you know, Satan starts saying to you, well, I'm not fed. Are you eating? See, when you shut your mouth and you resist the Spirit feeding you, you can go where you want to. You still won't eat. You know, I hear folks say, well, I never heard that before, because you had your fingers in your ears. You didn't go to where teaching is. See, the Bible helps us as preachers and ministers of his truth. He says the word is near you, even in your mouth. And see, because you refuse to eat, that make the preacher and the pastor a bad teacher. Uh-huh, y'all quiet. Obedience allows the Holy Spirit to give further revelation, which continues until resisted. That's revelation. But then there's realization. There's revelation, and then there's realization. That understanding that we are being changed by our obedience to revelation, sensitivity to truth, careful to obey. There's realization. Something is happening to me. There's a change that's taking place in me. There's a metamorphosis. I'm being transformed. As I get in the Word of God, as I study the Word of God, read the Word of God, as I hear the Word of God, as I see the Word of God lived out in the lives of people, the light is coming on. There's realization. You start seeing yourself and what needs to be changed about your life. See, that's when you mature to the point where you stop looking at the faults of other people. And you then begin to look within to say, I got issues of my own. I don't need to be pointing out everything that's going on in somebody else's life, because I got enough stuff going on in my own life that it's going to take the rest of my life to work out.
Yes, sir.
See, that's when you shut your ears to all of the stuff that's happening in other folks' life. Don't come to me with that. My life is messed up enough. I don't need you to put that stuff on my mind, because I'm trying to yield myself to the Holy Spirit so he can work out some stuff in my own life. See, there's a realization that now is me, the man in the mirror. He
He has sifted me from everybody else, blaming everybody else. Now he has sifted me to me. That there's realization. And listen, until you get to that point, you're going to be busy looking at other folks. Blaming other folks for your failures. And your faults. Your shortcomings. When the enemy is the inner me. You can't stop me. It's the inner me. And there's a realization. Now he makes me more focus in on me. Boy, what church would be like if more people would focus in on themselves. Oh my, what peaceful conversations we'll have if we would just focus in on ourselves. Not to say you don't help anyone else get right with God, but the Bible says, how can you help your brother that has a splinter in the eye if there's a board in yours? How can you help your brother or sister be well and you're sick? You need to first work on yourself so then you can be a help to someone else. But there's realization. You have to come to that realization. After revelation, you come to that realization. And guess what happens when you hear the revelation and there's a realization? Then there's transformation. There's change from glory to glory through our obedience to revelation. Now, I want you to see this, and this is probably about as far as I'll get. But I want you to see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to see this. This transformation, how we are changed from glory to glory through our obedience to the revelation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let me go up to verse 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we see what the Spirit of truth is doing. He's transforming us. Because we are not all right. Amen. How we are. Amen. And the way we are. We need to be transformed. So it is this from glory to glory. I want you to understand when the Bible says from glory to glory, that's increasing levels of glory. So what God is doing, the closer you get to your day of transition, there's a process of transforming. And every day, he's taking you from one level of glory to another level of glory. See, you cannot stay the same in the Lord. Oh, my. See, you cannot stay the same. You cannot remain the same. He's transforming. If you are yielding to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is transforming you. He's taking you from glory to glory. So there's increasing levels of glory that you ought to be on another level now. That you've been saved 20 years than the level you were on when you first got saved. Increasing levels. So it is through the word of God and the working of the Holy Spirit within believers that we are transformed daily. That's why Paul says we are renewed daily. Daily. Are you a better Christian? Have you gotten past some things? Are you delivered from some hang-ups and some habits? See, this glory to glory. That we are to be transformed, get this, into his image and likeness. Now, I want you to see that too. I want you to see that too. In Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 23 and verse 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23. So we see increasing levels of glory, right? That I'm not on the same level. I'm on another level now. And each day he's increasing. I'm going to another level tomorrow. If the Lord graces me to see tomorrow, I'm on another level. So I'm not the same. I'm not going to let you hold me in who I used to be. You know, folks want to remind you of your past. Yeah, I wasn't, you know, from glory to glory then. Now, I may have said some stuff. I may have done some stuff. But he has delivered me from that. Now I'm from glory to glory. I'm on another level now. Now you have to understand now when you go to another level. And then, you know, people who refuses to go to another level. It's like floors in a building. If you're on the fourth floor and they are on the third, you do know you're not together, don't you? So because they refuse to go to another level and you are yielded to the Holy Spirit and he's taking you from glory to glory, he has brought you to another level. You know you're not on the same level. So why are you so disturbed? Now, I can kind of understand them being disturbed, but why are you so disturbed? See, I'm trying to help you understand that everybody can't go with you. Because, you know, the higher you get, the thinner the air. Everybody can't breathe high altitude. I have some friends, they won't fly on a plane. No, they won't fly on a plane, so I leave them. Yeah, you stay in the car then. And I get there before they do. And I can leave after them and get back home before they do. I said, I know what you're from. You can't breathe on this level, can you? So you have to understand that. So why are you trying to make everybody like you? And you willing to compromise and give up going from level to level of glory just to, you know, satisfy people around you? No. I'm going with God. I'm going with God. I'm going with Gores. And I'm going with God. I'm not going to let folks hinder me and keep me down in lower levels of glory. I'm going from level to level. Now, we at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Are you there? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Where's it taking place? In the spirit of your mind. So he's rearranging my thoughts. He's renovating my thoughts. That I don't think the way I used to, because I'm being renewed. I'm more mature now in my thinking. All right. Then look at verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now look, let me just kind of get you to verse 25 before next week, because I want you to see this. Wherefore, putting away lying speaking, every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So you got to put away falsehood. If the spirit of truth is in you, you got to stop lying. Even if you feel lying is getting you by momentarily, stop lying. Just tell the truth. Look at your neighbor and say, just tell the truth. Many of y'all didn't say that, huh? Come on, look at your neighbor again and say, just tell the truth. We'll change. Now, here's another one, and I'm done. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Colossians 3, verse 10. I'm done after this. I'll pick up some other time. I tried to finish, but the Lord held me where I needed to be. All right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Are you there? And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. He's giving us knowledge. Remember now, in John chapter 14, he reveals Christ to us. So we know that Christ created us so that we can be transformed into the image of Christ. That's what it's about. Each and every day we should yield ourselves to the working of the Holy Spirit to transform us into the likeness and image of Christ. That's the whole goal, for us to be more like Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Any questions? Any questions? Any questions?
The word you use, you say
logos. Logos. Yeah. Logos. L-O-G-O-S. Logos. Yeah, the written word. All right. Any other questions? All right. All right, say that again. I think you know what you were doing when you got him. If you didn't start with God, then you can't say God sent him. Because God gives us instructions and he informs us as to what we should look for. But sometimes out of flesh desperation, we ignore the word. Boy, y'all almost. And you pick up a bozo instead of a Boaz. Yeah. You pick up a buster instead of a blesser. See? And he should have came looking for you. And then you have to be in the way of a virtuous woman. You have to be prized. See, why you make me? So because he prizes you, he loves you, he values you. Special. Yeah, you one of those women that he put high up on the stand there, see. Yeah, and so he prizes you. Now he may have some issues. Yeah, he has some issues now. And I have to go back to 1 Corinthians 7. Now, if it pleases you to dwell with him, remain. But then if there's a pulling away from God and it doesn't please you, then he says you're separated and you're not held under bondage. You depart in peace. So I don't know if that helped you or not. Did that help you? Yeah, so, you know, when you consider it, can I just be honest? See, a lot of us started out in the club. And because the Lord touched you first, that doesn't mean that he's ready to come out. See y'all making me. Can y'all say amen to that? You really didn't start out in church. You know, just a few folks started out in church. And, you know, they locked eyes in church and everything. And the truth is, even in that, some folks came to church with the wrong motive. They said, well, they were going to get them a good wife or a good husband. And there are some good women and there are some good men in church. But then there are some folks in church that's in ICU. They done been shot a few times. And they on life support. They done been stabbed a few times. And I'm talking about in the spirit realm now. And so, you know, all of those scars are there. And you hook up with that person, and then every time they look at them scars, they think you just like the person that they've been in formal relationship with. So y'all just going to have to come on the marriage ministry, or y'all going to let me counsel with that. I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm done. Y'all come on the singles ministry. I'm going to be teaching and preaching and all that kind of thing, present at the singles retreat. So y'all just have to come on, and, you know, I'm not going to do it. All right. See, sister, anybody else with a question? All right. Nothing. Come on. Yeah, you are your thoughts. And your life is shaped. Your actions are guided by your thoughts. You know, this is the headquarters. And you can't have a change of attitude and action without an adjusted mind. So the word targets the mind, so that the actions and attitude of a man will be changed. The first thing Jesus dealt with
in a series of teachings is beatitudes. That's the paradigm of discipleship. If you don't adjust the mind, you don't have a different attitude and you don't have a different action. So he started out saying what should be the attitude of disciples, the attitude of kingdom citizens in Matthew chapter 5. And it's not a starting looking at someone else. It's to acknowledge one's own spiritual depravity, that we are bankrupt, messed up without God. I need him. And you make it personal first. See, I need him. So why am I messing with you for if I need him? Why am I looking down on you? Why am I judging you by way of sending you to hell? And then I see all of the patience of God in my life because I have sinned and come short. Can y'all agree to that?
Amen.
Now, not that I live an intentional life of sin now, but I've had my conversation. And he could have, if he wanted me, he would have, you know, got me there, but he had something for me. And so that's how I look at ministry. And I look through ministry from that perspective. If God did it for me, he can do it for anyone. Listen, I don't care what sin they're caught up in. You hear people say things like, once gay, always gay. No, there's transforming power of God. Yeah, and the Bible says when you are in Christ, he makes you a new creature. Yeah. So I believe the transforming power of God working through the word of God, the Logos to the Rhema, to change and shape the minds of people, that if you just let people sit under the word, no, I'm talking about melling people now and belittling people. I'm not talking about calling them names and running them out of church, but that pure gospel. Man, the Holy Spirit will get a hold of that gospel. You can be talking about a woman with an issue of blood, and one of them will see themselves as that woman with the issue of blood, and may have that lifestyle, and God can work through that sermon and dry up that spirit of homosexuality and lesbianism that they've been grappling with for 12 or so years. Yeah, God powerful. God powerful. You know, some say, well, you know, they have a skirt too short. Let them come on in here with it, because you can't clean a fish in the water. You need to, hey, come on in here. Let me preach the word of God to you. And listen, the more gospel you get in, guess what that skirt going to start doing? Going down and down and down and down. Yeah. That may be all they got. Fresh out the club. And then you don't want them in the church because you scared your man or somebody looking over at them. What you worried with that for? I'm sorry. Yeah, you can't clean a fish in the water. Maybe that's all they got. But the more that word and the more unveiling of Christ happens in that heart, that mind, that skirt gonna go down. The muscle shirt's gonna come off. Yeah. But you got to let them hear the revelation. That's what I'm trying to say to us, the spirit of truth. You got to let them hear the revelation. You can't condemn them before they get in here and sit on the pew good. You got to let them hear the revelation. The power is not on the pew, the power is in the revelation. But if you refuse to let them hear the revelation because of what they got on, and that blood may be on your hand, they got to hear the revelation. I'm done. Anyone else before we dismiss? Let us stand and make our circle.
Are there any prayer requests? Come on, Brother Tony. Are there any prayer requests? Or any prayer requests? Michael Spencer. All right. Any prayer requests? All right. Jamaica? Tamika? Hutchins. All right.
My granddaughter, Ava Johnson.
Ava Johnson, your granddaughter. All right. All right. Okay. Amen. Amen. She has made it through her procedure, and the doctor and the surgeons are very excited about the procedure. So we're thanking God. Brother Roger, you had your hand up? Okay. All right. Tammy Henderson? All right. All right. Anyone else? Steele family. Cameron Johnson. All right. Anyone else? You said Carla Hill's mother. All right. Myra Armstead and her family. Brother Billy and Sister Barbara. They have funeralized her mother on Saturday. All right. Yes.
All right. Stroll and Snotty family.
Stroll and Snotty family. All right. All right. Miss McLean, Deacon McLean's wife, and Deacon McLean, that God will give him strength. Keep him and hold him. All right.
My mom has allowed her for 3 surgeries today.
All right. All right, Sister Van. Amen. Sister Van, Mother Van. And certainly we pray for her and pray for Reverend Van. All right. Certainly. Certainly. All right. Anyone else? All right, praying for their minds to ascertain and to apply, to answer correctly. Listen, I'm excited. I got a text message from Dr. Edwards. All 7 of our scholarship applicants turned in all of the information. So we're just thankful. And we have 7 scholarships to give out. And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. All right. Anything else claim our attention? All right.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you just giving you thanks.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for being the God of Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for just being the great I am.
Mm.
God, we come before you as humbly as we know how.
Yes.
We want to thank you for just being who you are.
Yes.
Right now, God, we come before you to ask you to just pray for us, to keep us as a church family.
Yes.
All the sick and shut in, God.
Yes.
All the bereavement that went up, God. The prayer requests that went up, God. I ask that you just put your healing hand and touch them right now, God. God, I ask that you keep our children, keep them safe right now. God, I ask that you continue to bless us right now as we go to our jobs, as we travel home right now, God. We just thank you for being just who you are right now, God. And God, we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.